Hello, fellow truth seekers and journey walkers. Today is January 1st, 2020, and we are going to discuss how we are approaching our journey and walk with Christ. One of the essential things that I have found when becoming a Christian and starting my walk with Christ is it is very essential to read the manual, the Bible. That's our tool. How can you say that you are a believer in Christ and you don't read your Bible? The Bible, which is called the Logos, the Rhema word. We also refer to Jesus Christ as the living word of God. It is the Godhead's actual inspired word written for us. And I don't believe that people realize just how powerful the Bible is. I had the pleasure of going to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. last year. It was such a beautiful experience. When traveling there, they were able to go in detail about the creation of the Bible, the painstaking things that they did to make sure that nothing was tampered with when the disciples put the Bible together, and as it was translated over the years, basically keeping it, preserving it, the truth. I would encourage anyone on your journey to definitely visit the Museum of the Bible. It's a very great way to understand just how powerful and significant the Word of God is, and that we are fortunate here in the United States of America to even have the written Bible in our hands and on, you know, apps and different versions is so accessible. There's countries who still do not even have the Bible written in their language, let alone an electronic app. So we have to be very thankful that we have this tool right here. One of the beautiful things about being a Christian here in the United States of America is that we have the opportunity to pick up our Bible on a daily basis and read it for ourselves. Just imagine not having that opportunity to be forced to go to a building where someone else has to read you God's word, and you have to trust that their interpretation of that. Well, God has given us his word and is powerful. The Bible is described as is sharper than a two-edged sword. I believe the scripture mentions that it is able to cut bone and marrow, basically describing it as it can separate the spirit from the flesh. It is impactful. It is designed to transform us. The Bible is also described as the water that washes our mind, is truth. So if we are not picking up the Bible on a daily basis and reading it, how do we say we are followers of Christ? We can't. There's so many things that come to mind when speaking of the Bible, and there's so many people who have come against it over the course of time, and yet the Bible is still the number one selling book that has ever existed and has been. There's so many things that validate the truth that is in the Bible, the prophecies that have come true from the Bible. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Bible is legit. It is legit, and it states in the scripture that is good for reproof, correction and to grow us. So how should we use the Bible? Well, as you approach the Bible says that we are all given the Holy Spirit to give us truth and understanding and revelation as we seek to understand who we are in Christ and to know God for ourselves. And so we humbly go before the Lord anytime before we even open up our Bible. We pray that God give us understanding and direction as we read His holy word. Some of the things that are helpful when studying the Bible, I currently bought the Tony Evans Study Bible and Dr. Tony Evans Buddy Bible Commentary. You can have any basic study Bible, New King James Version, New Revised Standard, any of those will work. And those versions are based on original manuscripts, is used, you know, for basic versions of study. I would definitely say that there's other versions such as the Living Bible, Today's English Version, the New Living Translation, and the Message Bible. And those are translations and paraphrases the Bible, which can help give you insight into the meaning of the words and the spirit of what is being said. The other thing that you might want to consider having is a Bible concordance. That is an index with a list of verses, often alphabetized by topic. Also, having a Bible commentary, and like I said, I currently have Dr. Tony Evans' Bible commentary, which is very detailed. It keeps it very simple that a child can understand and is very, very useful. Bible commentaries are resources provided in-depth explanation, excuse me, and interpretation of the scripture. It is best to use it after you have sufficiently studied and interpreted the passages for yourself. Another great resource to use is a Bible dictionary. This resource provides definitions of the Bible terms that you're looking at and places. This tool is helpful for understanding context, so you understand scriptures in the context of what you're reading. I'm sure you guys have heard in the past, or maybe heard it now, don't take scriptures out of context. Well, having a Bible dictionary will help with this, okay? There's also Logos Bible software. Usually Bible software, it can be purchased as software that has an extensive library of resources, such as like a commentary, concordance, various translations of the Bible, and most of them have like visual aids. Bible software, it can be very, very useful. I don't know about you though. I like having my hardcore book next to me as well. BibleGate.com is also a free online resource that provides commentary, Bible study tools, and devotionals. There's also SonicLight.com, which is a free online source resource center that also provides commentary, background information on each book of the Bible. And then you have multiple apps that you can use. One of the apps that I enjoy is the Bible app. I download that. I also have, it's called oneplace.com. That's where you can download all your favorite sermons from your favorite ministers or pastors across the world. There's also a app that you can download. It's called gotquestions.com. It's a great app that addresses many, many philosophical questions, doctrinal questions, and just everyday questions that people ask about what it is that you believe in, your Christian walk in Christ. So, in conclusion, as you begin 2020, those are some Bible study tools to put in your arsenal. so that you can learn who you are in Christ and find out more about who God is and what it is that you believe. Stay tuned for our next episode when we go more into detail as to how to begin your journey in walking in Christ. Hello, everyone. This is episode number 2 of How to Study Your Bible. In our episode 1, we did mention that it's extremely essential as a believer in Christ to have your backpack ready and the resources you need for this journey to be successful. And we mentioned some resources that would be helpful as you begin to learn about who you are in Christ and who God is to you and what it is that you believe. In this episode, I would like to go over a couple of things. We're staying on the same path regarding your Bible study. And so there's many different commentaries on how to study the Bible, but I would like to go over the way I approach my study. When studying the Bible, we have several incidents as to our approach. So the first one would be observation. The second would be interpretation. The third would be evaluation and application. So let's go back to the first one. Observation. So when you're reading, you read and read and you read it again, the passages over and over again. And as you're reading, you might want to take a couple of notes and jot down what you see in your scriptures and what you observe. And remember, when you're studying a passage, to pay attention to the details. Treat every passage as if you're seeing it for the first time. Now, the purpose of observation is to saturate yourself thoroughly with the content of the passage. This is something that we all should remember to do. Like a sponge, you want to absorb everything before you. Learn to be exact and accurate in your observations. So when you're doing that, some of the questions you're going to want to ask when you make those observations are, who are the characters? What is happening in the text that you're reading? What is the author truly saying? Who is the author speaking to? How is it being said? And what is the tone of the passage? What kind of terms are being used? And now, when I say terms, some of the terms that you want to definitely pay attention to and pay close attention to the words if, then, therefore, which will help you understand the relationship between the concept that it teaches. These little words, it can reveal requirements, also expectations that you need to keep in mind. Many of the Bible's promises, for example, are conditional. There are things you are expected to do in order for those promises to become real in your life. So those are important things you need to remember. Okay. I think it's also important to note while you're making your observations is that when you read, you might want to even read it out loud. There's something about reading things out loud. It actually helps to drill in what you're reading. It's a way of reinforcing yourself to slow down and take every thought in. And above all, don't be in a hurry. Don't try to get through all of what you're reading. Take your time and read it slowly. Think about every sentence, every paragraph, and what it means. Don't just hunt for the quick inspirational nugget of truth. Let every word and let every sentence speak to you. One thing that I love about children, they ask a ton of questions, almost to the point of redundancy. And as parents, we can sometimes get very irritated with our kids, like, why do you have so many questions? And oh my goodness, their curiosity, it will drive you insane. But that's how they learn. So although we become exhausted as parents, answering these questions that our children have. It is the way that they learn new things. And one of the problems with adults is that we stop asking those questions as we get older. And we should be more curious like children and read our Bible. Don't assume you already know what's being said because you've heard it before. Keep your curiosity high and keep your heart and mind open. One great way to do this is by cross-examining every passage you read in order to make sure you are noticing all that it has to say and see if you can answer the most important questions, which are who, what, where, when, why, and how. I know some of you guys remember that in school, right? The who, when, what, when, where, why, and how. Now, also with that, you want to notice what terms are being repeated, how is the passage structured, what is being omitted, are there any comparisons being made in the passage that you're reading, is there something being described, and what kind of literature is it? This is extremely important. Is it a narrative? Is it a poetry? Is it a parable? Is it apocalyptic? Is it a discourse or sermon? Is it drama or is it historical? So you have to pay attention to all those things and make sure you pay attention if it's giving advice, if it's giving warnings, if it's giving promises, or if it's giving encouragement. Reasons or results for why things happen, and make note of this because there is a cause and effect often seen in the if-then statements. Okay, so those are the key things, and you also want to look at any contrasts or comparisons or illustrations. If there's repetition and progression of ideas, be alert. Be alert to the repetition of words, ideas, and statements. This often will give you clues as to what the author's purpose of the passage is. And take a special note to list the items or ideas. Compare those items and see if there is any significance in the order or progression of ideas towards the climax. So, I've already given you a ton of things. That seems pretty of an exhaustive list, but is not. It's just a starting point. And the more questions you ask, the deeper your study will be. And make sure to list your observations as you go. So ask more questions. For each observation, ask deeper interpretive questions. And those interpretive questions are those questions that arise from the basis on the observational terms, structures, and general literary forms, and the atmosphere, whose answer will result in the discovery of their full meaning. Interpretive questions. Ask questions that will help you understand the text from the author's point of view and his intentions of writing. For example, some of the interpretive questions that you can ask would be, what is the precise meaning of this term? Why was it used instead of another term? Why was a particular statement written? And what is the purpose within that context? What are the implications? Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? An example of observation would be from Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, when reading that, the observations verse begins with a but. Have you noticed that? So it says but. So the interpretive question to that would be, what comes before this? What is being contrasted? What is being discussed? Jesus speaks definitively, okay? You will receive power, and then it goes, you shall be. The interpretive question would be, why does Jesus speak this way? What is the significance of what he is saying, right? And Jesus lists where the disciples will be witnesses, nearest to farthest. And the interpretive question for that would be, what does this signify, nearest to farthest? Another example would be, the disciples will only receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. The interpretive question for that would be, well, why will the disciples receive power? Why do they need power? Did not have power already? And what were they to do with it? Remember that? Who, what, when, where, why, how? That will help you with your interpretive questions. Another example would be, Jesus makes a distinction where the disciples will be witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria. So the interpretive question for that would be, why does Jesus specify both Jerusalem in Judea and Samaria? What do these places represent? What is their relation to each other? Jesus states that the disciples will be his witnesses. Okay, so the interpretive question for that will be, what does this word witness mean? What does it mean to Jesus to mean to be Jesus's witness? So resist the urge to answer your questions until you have sufficiently observed your passage. And so this concludes our first step in how to study your Bible and your Christian journey is through observation. Hello, everyone. So we are back on our episode of how to study the Bible. And in our previous episode, we spoke about the first study measure, which is observation. And that was an exhaustive list of what we should do and how we should study through observation. Now, today, we are going to discuss the second part of how to study, which is interpretation. Bible interpretation is essentially for understanding and teaching the Bible properly. And we must know the meaning of the Bible then and when it was written before we can know its message for us today and how it applies. The answers to your interpretive questions begin the process of interpreting the passage, but there are many gaps that must be bridged in order to properly understand the meaning of the text. And so here are some things you want to consider. Okay, so when you're interpreting the Bible, you want to be sure that you are making sure that that scripture is in its proper context. Context pretty means much means how does that portion of scripture relate to its surroundings, what is being discussed in the verse before and after the section that you read or you're studying. Then you also want to look at word usages. Now, remember back at the beginning of the first episode, I gave you guys an exhaustive list of Bible resources to use. One was a Bible dictionary, one was a commentary, concordance. Okay, so this is where that is useful. So you want to look at the word usages. Note terms that are repetitive throughout the portion of that scripture. And those terms are the key you need to discovering the meaning of that passage. Dig deeper into how the author uses that term. Word usage can vary from author to author. Also, you want to consider the literary form. What type of literature is being used? Okay, this will dictate how the passage should be interpreted. So, for instance, if it's a literature that's being used for poetry, you wouldn't read it the same as you would from like the book of, Matthew, Mark, Luke, because those are more historical scriptures. So the poetry is used for imagery and descriptive language, and we notice that language is used in, you know, Songs of Solomon, for example, chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats that have descended from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of newly shorn ewes, which have come up from their washing, all of which bears twins, and not one of them has lost her young. So, with that, we can go down that whole list, and he describes in literary terms his beautiful wife. And in this passage, the beloved describes his love figuratively, and his description of her should not be interpreted literally. Also, you want to look at historical context. What is happening in the history when the passage is written? Who was the recipient of the letter? Who was the audience? Where were they located? Okay, what were their customs, the culture back then? What are their beliefs? What was the political environment and social and spiritual environment of that time? By researching the historical context, it will enhance the meaning of the text that you're reading and make the interpretation and the process come alive. Also, when interpreting the scriptures, you want to consider the purpose. The purpose. Why is that passage even being written? Discovering the author's motive for writing and influencing the writing, will basically make an impact on your interpretation of the text. Once you have an answer to that and all of the interpretive questions and discover the meaning of the text, summarize your findings and the main message of your passage. If you are studying a large portion of scripture, such as several chapters or a book, using a chart will help you summarize the main ideas, and jotting it down will be helpful as well. A good research source that you can use to find in-depth information on charting is a book called The New Joy of Discover in Bible Study, and it's by Alita Wallet's book, The New Joy of Discovering Bible Study. So that concludes our message for today regarding how to study the Bible, and that is Bible interpretation. Well, we are at our final episode of how to study the Bible, which is essential to our Christian journey, knowing who we are in Christ and who God is. And so welcome. Today, we are going to talk about the last and final thing, which is the evaluation and application of reading and studying your Bible. Okay, so, you know, what's the point of all of this, right? We have a Bible. We say that we're followers of Christ. And so the Bible is our main tool and our ammunition to finding out what it is that we believe in. So the whole point of studying the Bible is to get to know God better and to learn what He expects of us as His children and who we are. Who are we in Christ? The Bible is not complete until we have applied God's words to our life. There's no point of reading the Bible if we're not going to make it applicable and practical to our everyday life. So evaluating the discoveries you make through your observation and through your interpretation. And when we interpret, we have to make sure that we are rightly dividing the Word of God. And that goes in a little bit more depth, and we're keeping this very surface level. But now with evaluating all that, we determine the value and the relevance to each step before the application is being made. Now, this doesn't mean that you set yourself up as a critical judge, but with honest heart, continually appraise the general validity of the Bible's passages in relationship to its present day living. So in your study, you'll discover instructions given for a specific time, region, but it's important to note that you are looking for a timeless truth. That timeless truth and principle that can be applied and is applicable regardless of the point in that history or culture. That's why the Bible is so relevant now, just as much as it was back then, because there's so many timeless truths that can be applied. Once you have determined that principle and find your passage, the passages that are timeless and how it can be applied to your practical daily life, the next step is to determine how they should be applied. And some of the questions you might ask yourself are, what should I do? Should my actions, behavior, or attitude change in some way? Is there a sin I need to confess or repent of? What should I believe? Is my understanding of Christ, His church, salvation, the Holy Spirit, grace, and mercy in line with what is taught in the scripture? Christian doctrine covers a wide range of areas that are found in the Bible. So we can go on for days about this topic, but it all boils down to, once you have your clear study and you have a deep, exhaustive understanding of what you've read, and you have rightly divided the Word of God, you've put it in proper context, you've asked the who, what, when, where, how, and all those important questions and interpretive questions, then how do I apply it to my everyday life? What am I going through now that I can apply this particular scripture or passage to what I'm dealing with? How can I do that? And so that's where we begin our journey. This is where your walk begins as you become a mature believer in Christ. We aren't just gathering facts of truth. We are gathering wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge and truth that you have received. Thanks for joining in. We'll catch up with you soon.